Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to say good God day to you or good God afternoon to you, depending on what time frame it is, where you are tuning in from. You have tuned into the Fighting Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, the Golgotha Church of Christ radio show at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's Chicago time, Monday through Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. My name is Michael Peavy, minister and evangelist of the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. You can view us on Facebook or on Twitter. You can find us at on email at golgothachurchofchrist@gmail.com. You can view us on our website at www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Or you can even give us a phone call at 312-933-4090. Again, that would be 312-933-4090. And so, again, we are excited today. We're glad that you have tuned in to the Fighting Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Because we all are in a battle. We all are fighting. We all are struggling with different things and issues. And we need to know who to use, what to use, and how to use in order to get it done. And so Jesus Christ came into this ghetto world from the pinnacles of heaven, the penthouse of heaven, in order for to save you and I and to restore us back to the right frame of mind with God. And so we are just so enamored. We are just so overwhelmed. We are just so overjoyed at the fact that God did not forget about us, even in the fact that the first Adam had a mistake and he couldn't hold up the deal, got caught up with his wife and ended up sinning, knowing full well what he should have done. And in punishment, he was excommunicated from the Garden of Eden. And so it took not to be able to have a right to the tree of life, to touch the tree of life. It took the second Adam, who came down through 42 generations in Matthew, 72 generations in the book of Luke, letting us understand that God knew from day one that he was going to have to send Jesus, a lamb without spot, in order to keep us mankind innocent in the eyesight of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three ways, three personalities, three functionalities, but yet one God. Today, as we take a look at Genesis chapter 22, and we take a look, we're looking at the life experience of Abraham and his different locations. We're looking today in the 22nd chapter at the sacrifice of Isaac. The sacrifice of Isaac. Now we remember that Abraham, not waiting on God, listening to the advice of his wife, being emotional and past the biological clock and was still barren, did not understanding the promise of God, going to send a child through her, figure she was past childbearing age, and so she would allow him to go into her handmaid Hagar and have a son, a surrogate son, by her. And so Abraham, who should have said no, did like most men today, well, honey, if that's what you want me to do, let me go and get busy and follow you because that is your will. And so it's just a shame that he wasn't able to stand for God. And so because of that, it's going to cause him some heartache and heart pain when God makes him excommunicate that boy Ishmael from his family. And him and Hagar is going to have to leave, but God has made him a promise he's going to take care of him. Let's hurry to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis so we take a look at the promised son, the birth of Isaac that has taken place, and God has now made promises, and now he's of age, of an age of intelligence, Josephus says he was probably about the age of 25 where this takes place, and God requires Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. I'm going to be reading from the Holman's Christian Study Bible. You may be reading out of the King James or out of the American Standard or the NIV. It doesn't matter which translation that you're reading from. Just read from that as I read from this, and we will listen to God's word and see how God is going to, what God is going to do and how God is going to move. In today's lesson, I want you to recognize three S's, one for sorrow, one for submission, and one for substitute. We're going to see the sorrow of Abraham, we're going to see the submission of Isaac, and we're going to see the substitute given by Almighty God. Run with me to the scriptures, if you would. Genesis chapter 22. Good to see you that's on there, and we ask you just to you're on news right now at the completion of the lesson. We'll get a chance to hear from you and hear from your wisdom in regards to the lessons and any questions or what you may have learned accordingly. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here am I, Abraham answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. It's interesting, as we put a pen right here, that God chooses Mount Moriah as a location that he would send Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. If you think about Mount Moriah, Mount Moriah will also be the place where David had purchased the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite in 2 Chronicles 3 and verse 1. Mount Moriah will also be the place where Solomon probably built the temple at, there on Mount Moriah. So it's going to become a key location. But also, as we take a look at this, from Pastor Lewis Luther, he calls this the dress rehearsal for Calvary. So we're going to also see Jesus as our personal Savior here in this lesson. So take your son, your only begotten son. God speaking strong to him, letting him know you have to let go of your emotions for Ishmael, because the only son I have sanctioned and I have put into place is Isaac. And so Isaac will be the son that will have your offspring. Now, it's a dilemma that Abraham finds himself in. But we also see that Abraham is not Abram any longer. We saw that he has lied to twice, one as Abram and then even as Abraham, to Abimelech during Gerar and to Pharaoh in Egypt about Sarah being his wife. But now we see that Abraham has matured. He has perfected somewhat, so to speak, because we get a chance to witness Abraham's great faith. Well, what is this dilemma that you speak about, preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question, because Abraham believes without a shadow of a doubt, that he will return with Isaac alive, even though he's being commissioned and he's being commanded to kill this boy. For God had promised that Abraham's offspring would come through Isaac and no one else. So the dilemma is that Isaac himself has not had any children yet, even though he's about 25 years old, according to Josephus. And We know you don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to know that dead men don't have children. Amen, somebody. So we also know that God fulfills all of his promises and will not fail. So Abraham has great faith that if I follow the command of God and I kill this boy as God commanded, that God's going to bring him back. And even though we leave together, we will return together. Abraham has grown up. My question to you and I today is, how deep is our faith? How deep is our faith today? Can we trust God and his word? But even though the situation may seem grim and dim, even though it may end up looking morbid and worse, that we know that God has never failed. God has never lost a case. That God is victorious, and that it is God that will carry us through, even in our time of dilemma. And so as we take a look at this dilemma that Abraham finds himself in, which is no more than a trial or a test of the Lord for Abraham. Abraham doesn't understand it totally, but he don't have all the answers, but he does not need logic. All he needs is to obey God, for God has carried him through Canaan for a while now, and Abraham is way up in age because he's had this boy at 100 years old when you know that was way past childbearing age. Folks, the Lord tests his people. Why does he test his people? Well, the test proves worthiness. It also puts on display for others to be able to see how deep is our love. How deep is our faith in God? What you truly believe, your acid test, comes through a faith. So God's test of Abraham revealed to Abraham and to God himself, like none other could, the depth of the faith of Abraham. When God sends you and I through trial and test, it's only for our betterment, not for our detriment. And he wants us to be successful and victorious. And he says, I'll be with you every step of the way. Abraham has been tested. Are you ready for your test today? Take your son, your only begotten son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Mount Moriah and kill him. Offer him as a burnt sacrifice or burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you up. Now, God don't even tell him where he's going to send him. He says, I'm going to Mount Moriah, and I'll give you the location. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. If God says, go, you just get going. He'll provide the ground to your steps as you move. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about, Mount Moriah. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. So 3 days, they're walking, talking, but still moving forward in God's direction. 3 days they could have turned around. But 3 days shows that 72 hours show that they had faith, that they will fulfill God's mission as God expects us to do here on earth. You have a mission to do. God expects you to fulfill that mission without question and without blemish. God says, as you step, I will provide the ground for you. And when God brought his child on his donkey, took with him two of his young men and his son, split wood for a burnt offering, and set out to go to the place Mount Moriah where God told him about. And again, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I, or the lad and I, will go over there to worship. Hold it now. Now we understand that worship is a sacrifice. Worship is a sacrifice. When you follow the mission of God and you do it as God says it, you are worshiping God. And no man can worship God in an unworthy manner. So obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me say this again. Abraham said to his young men, stay here. See, they can go just so far, and there always are going to be people that are only going to be able to go so far with you. Don't get upset if they end up stopping or they get weights on their feet. They can't go no further. Their vision is no farther than that, that they must stop on the way. God has stopped them. It wasn't God's plan for them to go all the way. There's some people that can only go a distance, and they're there for a season. Then God removes them because he needs to take you to another level. If you continue to bring them on, they'll bring you down and weight you down, and you won't be able to fulfill God's mission the way God wants it. They'll come in questioning, and they'll come in asking, they'll bring in doubt, they'll bring in all kinds of stuff. Do it as God said. Now, he told me and the boy to go. I brought the two lads with me. Now, you were at the place. Now, God, you're going to show me where we're going to sacrifice, where it will be worshiped, and then we're going to build this altar. And you guys stay here. Because now it's me and God and Isaac all alone. He said, stay here, and the boy and I will go over there and worship. Then we'll come back to you. Powerful statement. Underline that or highlight that in your scripture. Here is Abraham not having to lie to the men. Here is Abraham saying it in a regular place. We're going and we're coming back. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's been told what to do. He's just being sent where to go, but he knows what the outcome is going to be because of the promise God has made to him. See, many times we don't see the yard lines. We see our baptism and we see our eternity, but between them comes a process, and we don't see that all the time. What we need to recognize is that as we go through the process, that God has something for us. And what he has for us is for us and no one else. But God has made us a precious prop, that he has a reward for us if we stay faithful unto death. So you stay here. You too stay here. And me and the boy, we're going to go over there and worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the sacrificial knife. And the two of them walked on together. Notice what's taking place. He gave the wood to the boy. Kick, carry the wood that's going to burn. He took the torch of fire in his hand and the weapon, the sacrificial knife, to cut the sacrificial lamb with. And the two of them walked together. Isaac of the Age of Intelligence is seeing something here. Inquiring minds want to know. And so Isaac then spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." Abraham replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" He says, "I see the fire, which is in your hand. I'm carrying the wood, which is in my hand. But where's the lamb that we're going to burn, that we're going to offer to God?" Notice Abraham's answer. God will provide. God will provide. Your translation may say God will provide for himself the lamb. That means that God will provide himself with a sheep. God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. He's been reassured. No queasiness there. Let's keep moving. I've been reassured by my dad that we're going to have what we need when we get there. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Can't you see this boy? Total faith in his daddy. And his daddy binds him, lays him on the wood. Remember, I just said, "I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the lamb?" Now Isaac sees the wood. He sees it's been bound and laid on the wood, and he knows that the fire is there. Now he understands who is the lamb. Abraham reached out and took the knife that he was going to cut the lamb with to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, amen, somebody, but the angel of the Lord, amen, somebody, don't miss yourself, but the angel of the Lord, what do you do? The angel of the Lord.
Let's do here.
There we go. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." But he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son Isaac, from me." Abraham looked up, and when he looked up, he saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram. He removed Isaac from the sacrifice. Replace the ram and offer the ram as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which literally means God will provide, for the Lord sees. And today it's been said that it was provided on the Lord's mountain. Then the angel of the Lord, there's that name again, called to Abraham a second time. Called him from heaven and said, by myself, Abraham, I have sworn, and this is the Lord's declaration. When God makes a covenant with you, it's ratified by blood. And God says that he is going to make an oath to Abraham. Now, it's interesting that God's going to make an oath with Abraham. Because usually when an oath is made, it's usually made off the strongest muscle, which is the leg or the gluteus muscle, the thigh muscle, and is being held there and also given as a covenant. God says that he's the strongest. Well, he makes an oath by himself because there's no one stronger than God. There's no oath that could be even better than God. God makes an oath unto himself and to Abraham. And you know it must be pretty strong if God's going to make that kind of commitment. The Bible says in verse 15, an angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn. This is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son. He said, now you passed the test. So I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Man, who can count the stars of the sky? Who can count the sand? That's how big of an offspring Isaac is going to have. Abraham is going to have through Isaac. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemy. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. God's blessings come to those who are obedient. Let me say this again. God's blessings are given to those who are obedient. The future blessings that will bless your family, your offspring, and your generations to come, based off of your obedience to God right now. How dedicated and determined are you in your faith with God right now? In obedience at the top or is anywhere in the plan? Notice he says, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. All the people of the earth will be blessed by the offspring of Abraham, the progeny of Abraham, because you have obeyed my command. And look, just as Abraham said, Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham settled in Beersheba. Now, after these things, Abraham was told of Milcah, also his born sons, to your brother Nahor, Uz, his firstborn, his brother Boaz, Kemuel, the father of Aram. She said, Hazel, Kildash, Ziklag, and Bethuel. And Bethuel fathered Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Ruhamah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Kahash, and Maacah. So what we learn here is that this is really a dress rehearsal for Calvary. Because we saw the sorrow of Abraham. Now you have to kill your boy. But you see, in his obedience, in spite of his emotional state, he was going through with it. The submission of Isaac. Dad, I see the wood, and I see the fire. But where's the lamb? They get to the location. Abraham lays the wood, lays Isaac on the fire, on down it, and is getting ready to split him with the knife. When the angel of the Lord stopped him and called and said, hold it, go no further. Abraham, Abraham, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you will not sacrifice. And he sent him a ram. Ram in the thicket. Who the purpose of the ram? Was to take substitutionary place for his son Isaac, that he too would be able to live. How does that apply to me today? Well, there's an itinerant rabbi whose name was Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. That means Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, who carried his 100-pound patibulum after much ridicule and running from government house to government house, was then cast into judgment after his sin not beaten beyond compare, mistreated beyond compare, bloodied beyond compare, and now hanging between two thieves as a criminal of sedition with a sign over him in three languages that says, King of the Jews. King. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. That lamb without blemish. The sacrificial lamb took our place, so that we might have the right to live. If you have not given your life to Jesus, might I suggest to you today that there is a God that loves you more than you will ever know, and that acted before you got here so that you could have life and have it eternal, that you will have a place in heaven and receive a mansion, a robe, and a crown. A day will there be a place where there will be no more fears, no more pain, no more crying. It'll be just howdy, howdy, and enjoying hallelujahs to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I surrender to God even again today, asking God to forgive me for any omission and commission that may have been committed, things I know about, things I don't know about, that I have a clean slate so that when I press a dying pillow, when I become fertilizer for daisies and fish food for worms, then I will have an opportunity to see God's face pleasantly. The only two words I want to hear him say is well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my son. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter in, and I will make you ruler over them. Jesus has come unto me, all you the labor, and I have you laden, and I will give you rest. Those who are burdened down today, Jesus is the answer. It's Christ for all crises. But I suggest you to surrender today. Well, how do I come to God, preacher? I'm so messed up. I have so many things going on. I want you to know it don't matter what you've been through. I don't care how bad an hombre you've been. I don't care how ugly the situation may have looked or is. I want you to know that God has still put breath in your body. And because you have breath in your body, you have a right now opportunity to give your life and get your life right with God. The question is, what is the intent of your mind? Are you godly sorrow that you have wasted all these years of this time and you now want to redeem the time with God? Well, let me know, we serve a God that specializes in mess-ups. A God that meets you in the valley and carries you to the mountaintop. I want you to know that we serve a God today that loves you more than you will ever know. And love was so thick and loyal that he died for you on Golgotha Hill. And a drop of his blood has your DNA in it. A drop of his blood has your DNA in it. How do I connect with the blood? I'm so glad that you're asking those questions. Because it's a five-step cookie-cutter plan for all mankind. I'm going to give you the scriptures. I don't care what you've been told by whomever or whoever. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, meaning it's God breathed. So I'm going to give you what God has breathed today. I want you to take a look at it and obey accordingly. The Bible says hearing is important. Romans 10:17, so now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing is important. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It must cause you to repent, turn to God, quit doing the 360 and getting dizzy like a top, and do a 180 to God. So no matter how bad it is, God's waiting on you with open arms. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And if you perish before your expiration date, and you're not in good graces with God, heaven will never be your home. You must confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch took there in Acts chapter 8. The same confession that you and I must take even today. Matthew 10:32, he that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Yes, I say it's a burial. You must be fully immersed in water. You can't be drip-dropped. You can't be poured upon. You can't be christened and sprinkled on. And you can't be dry clean. You need to be fully immersed in water for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent, every last one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. It must require you also, if you don't like, if you're not keen on what Peter has said, listen to Paul in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we all should walk in that newness of life. And I hasten to say this, if you don't want to listen to Peter in Acts 2:38, and you don't want to listen to Paul in Romans 6, 3 and 4, you better listen to Jesus in Mark 16, 15, 16. For Jesus says emphatically, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is the line of demarcation from what you were to what you are. It's not an option. It is a command. If you're in radio land today, you have heard God's word. Do you believe it? If you believe God's word to be true, then you must act on it, for faith is an action word. You've repented, you're turning to God. You're willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God, and now you just need to be baptized for the remission of your sin. We need to get you to the water. You can call me. You can email me. We will help you find water. Water, where God will provide the water in the desert as he did the Ethiopian eunuch. Where he says, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And the requirement was, if you believe, then you may. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hope, trust, and pray this lesson has blessed you. We're going to go to the line now after a closing prayer. Father God, thank you for this word. Help us, Father, to understand the substitutionary place of atonement that Jesus did for us on Golgotha Hill. Help us not to be superstitious and to recognize it was on death hill that we found life. We love you, we adore you, and this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Let's go through the line. I see one on the line now. Let's open it up to the caller. Caller, please state your name if you would.
Can you hear me, Doc?
I sure can.
This is Brother Austin from the Minneapolis Central Church of Christ. God is good. And all the time, God is good.
I've been dying to talk with you, Doc. I ain't seen you since you was at the doctor.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time. I see you keeping up the good work.
Doc, you done got married and then moved on, and I hear that you're in the pulpit a little bit. That's what Luke tells me.
I'm actually one of the associate ministers there now at
praise
the congregation.
And, praise God.
So things working out real good. I'm still faithful.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, still faithful. But I'm glad to see you still doing your work, Doc. doing the work of the Lord.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're hanging on in there. That's what it's all about. You know, it's not about us. It's about him.
That's
and,
right.
You have been an inspiration in my life. I want to thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate you for that, Doc. You know, we did a lot of great work here in Chicago together. And we love you. And know that you have family all over this brotherhood. But you've been endeared to me based off the work that we've done together. And so we'll go into eternity with those together.
I appreciate you, Doc. I appreciate you, man. How's the family?
Everybody's doing well. Everybody's doing well.
Good.
The wife's at work.
Good.
She'll be glad to hear that you was on today. And, you know, Father's Day, my birthday was yesterday, and y'all just overwhelmed
me
with
about
350.
You just 1 year older than me, that's all.
That's right. Hey, man.
He's doing real well. He's going to be out of town this weekend, so the pulpit will be mine again for this weekend. And he's doing a lot of workshops.
Good.
You know, they call him to do these workshops, you know, teaching workshops and how to rightly divide the word of God and be effective, you know.
Right.
So he's doing a lot of that. And him and his wife just got back from their anniversary. They went to Hawaii. I said, everybody ain't able.
Amen.
Amen. But,
that's all right.
I would like to take my wife to Hawaii. It's just not conducive. Right now. Oh yeah. But you know the most important thing is you know, the word of God is been taught, and people's souls are being saved, you know.
Amen.
And your teaching and my teaching, Dr. Pointer's teaching, his son teaching, you know, his son Russell Jr. is assistant minister there. And he taught on Father's Day. You can see a lot of this stuff on Facebook Live, Minneapolis Central Church of Christ. And he talked about basically the same thing you talked about today.
Mm-hmm. But,
you see how the Holy Spirit works?
That's right. Do you have any comments about the lesson today? Got any insights for us? Help us out.
You did a great job. You know, people just have to realize, you know, the power of God and understanding who he is, you know, and God is all knowing. He see all. You can't hide from him.
That's right.
But
that's so cool.
For him to put a ram in the bush for Abraham. He saw the faithfulness of Abraham.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to have. We got to have that same faith, you know, that same faith that Abraham has. God commands us to do something. We need to be on it. You know, we need to do it. Now we need to do it out of love, and we need to show people what Christianity is all about. Because you got people out here teaching that there is no such thing as a God.
That's right.
And there's no such thing as the Church of Christ is fake and as a cult, and there's all kinds of things being taught, you know, out there. So we just keep teaching the word and keep being the example. I believe God's gonna move mountains for us, you know.
That's right.
And that's how I see things right now in my life. If there's a mountain in the way, I give all my faith and all the honor to God, because I know he's going to help me to climb over that mountain.
Amen.
You know, yeah, that's how I see it.
Well, I certainly appreciate you calling in, Doc. We're on here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 12:30. So you're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Mondays and Tuesdays? Okay.
Monday, Tuesday,
okay,
Thursday.
That sounds good.
All 4 days at 12:30.
Okay. Well, I don't have to be at work till about 3 in the evening.
Okay.
Because I work from 3 to 11:30 every night. And I'm off on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, you have the number now. I'm going to do me a favor and announce it to the congregation there and have them, you know, if
that number.
Some that are available. And that's, you know, people that don't work during the day or maybe disabled or just, you know, have some extra time on the hand, retired. You know, it's a way to continue to keep their mind focused and sharp. So,
I'm going to make sure my wife put it into the bulletins because she's over the bulletins and announcements. And she puts it into the book. This same number that I'm talking to you now is the one that she needs.
That's the number they call in, yes. That's the guest line.
Okay,
that's right.
The number. They already know about you, you know, because I have told them some good things about you and the congregation. And I told them you're a great, great man of God. Who can rightly divide the word. And so you're already out there. You know what I'm saying? in Minnesota.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. So that's a good thing.
I appreciate that. I want to be in heaven too, so
oh yeah. We have the largest mixed congregation in Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not just all black folks or all white people. It's a mix. It's everybody. You know, a lot of different
good. That's
people.
The way it's supposed
we
to be.
We even got people from, that's right. We even got people from Africa and Japan, just from everywhere, you know, because the Bible tells us to go out into the highways and the hedges and to shake some hedges and, you know, compel the people to come in.
We
don't discriminate on nobody.
Amen.
But your name is out there, and I will make sure that this number gets into the bulletin for Sunday. It will be announced, and I'm going to put your name, Evangelist Michael Peavy, and this is your what is this called?
It's our Golgotha Church of Christ radio show called Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. You know, that's our motto here at the Golgotha Church of Christ. By an incarcerated mind with the incarnated Christ. So you can see it on Facebook. If not, you know, I always have it posted as to what it is. So
I see it on Facebook, so I'll put it, make sure she announces it. Have it in the bulletin and we highlight the stuff that we want everybody to focus on. We put a highlight on it so it can definitely be announced and put out there.
Well, you can tell
have
you
a lot of people
is,
that
you know
are,
what's going on. And
we'd
love to have either you, Russell, or even the other Russell Jr. Would like to bring a message or something. Shoot me, let me know, man, and we can do that. We're broadcasting all over. We've got a faction in Norway as well. So we've got about 17% in Norway that's actually picking us up.
Good. That's a good thing. And you just keep up the good work, Doc.
Thank you, my brother.
You know, I like what you're doing. I like what you're striving for. I like your the wisdom and the knowledge, and I like the way you teach. And you're gonna bless a lot of people, or you have been blessing a lot of people. But you're gonna bless more. So don't stop. Don't stop.
Right. Well, my focus is this, and you know, it always has been, not to get so caught up with those within the four walls. You know, we always want to come and preach to those that are already saved, but is to go into the world, somewhere like Paul, and to be able to talk to those, you know, in denominations, those that don't know Jesus in the pardon, as we know them, and to be able to drop a seed and help them to be able to take a look from another angle in order for them to ponder. And that's my whole thing. So that's the audience I'm going after. And that's why it's been, we actually are starting a television line as well. So if you guys got some videos and stuff out there, that you would like on our to have a whole network that we're getting ready to plug into, John. And so, you know, just let me know.
That sounds good, Doc. We got quite a few videos.
Okay.
So I will get what well, I will
I've
get Russell
I've got 24 hours to fill up. And so 24
okay.
hours, 7 days a week. 24 hours, 7 days a week to fill up. So
I got
let's get rolling.
Gotcha. Sounds good to me, Doc. I was going to share with you.
So
well,
man, and man, it's so good to hear from you, bro. And like I said, we'll
oh,
be
yeah.
back on tomorrow. We'll be back on, you know, all the way through Thursday. So call on in and
sounds
give us a
good.
Shout and, you know, give us some insight. We love you, man. Talk with you soon.
All right, Doc. You have a good one.
Take care.